In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So I think that it is fair to say that there is much distress and unrest in the world, and even within the church, great fear and distress over the times in which we find ourselves. Political unrest, division within the country, devastating health concerns, terror over terror, you name it. What is it that troubles you today? To us, Jesus says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Look at the birds of the air. Look at the lilies of the field." And yet, for most of us, we do not believe that we are of more value than the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, or those wretched crows that wake me up too early in the morning. St. Paul says in the epistle appointed for the 15th Sunday after Trinity, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now, what does this mean, to live in the Spirit? The Holy Spirit simply does not minister to us apart from the precious promises of God's Word. That's it. So to live in the Spirit is to live in the Word of God. And what are the promises of God's Word? There are too many for us to count them this morning. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. The present sufferings of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. If God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for our salvation, how will he not also, along with Christ Jesus, freely give us all things? Yet for us, because it is the way of the world and the preaching of the world is all around us, it is as if there is no God, there is no creator, and there certainly is no savior. And if there is to be a God, and if there is to be a savior, it's got to come from me or the mass of humanity trying to figure out how to save the planet from global climate change. Remember this: when you fight against God, you lose. You always lose. You always lose. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? It means to believe and to trust in what God says, even if it contradicts everything else you hear in the world and every other message. Do you know what the Bible says? Do you know what the Spirit says? It says that God cursed the creation. It says in the book of Romans that he subjected the creation to decay. I'm not about to argue before you this morning that there is no change in the climate, But rather, I'm here to tell you this morning that any such changes are by permission of his fatherly will. He subjected the creation to decay as a consequence of man's sin. To strip us of all self-reliance, to be used with the word of the law to bring about repentance. But boy, humanity is hard-hearted and stiff-necked, aren't we? Refusing the lesson of the Spirit. But the lesson of the Spirit is to walk in the Spirit, which is the language of faith in God's word, calls us to trust those promises, to trust what God says about the world in which we live, including the suffering of our own life, and to say with the hymn writers, what God ordains is always good. To learn to pray those words of hymn 760, what God ordains is always good. He is my friend and father. He suffers nothing to do me harm, though many storms may gather. Now I may know both joy and woe. Someday I shall see clearly that he has loved me dearly. No, I don't know all of the answers to the calamities and the uncertainties of life that are out there today. Nobody does but one. And the one who knows is he who created all things. And the one who knows is he who redeemed all things. Yes, all things, even the creation which he subjected to decay. The creation is yearning for the resurrection of the body to eternal life, when the present sufferings of this life will not be worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Now, the more things change, the more things stay the same. In the Old Testament reading today, Elijah appears being sent to a widow in Zarephath. If you know the background of the story, Elijah was a faithful prophet of the Lord. He called King Ahab and Queen Jezebel to repentance. So many in the land of Israel in the north had gone after the gods of the nations that surrounded her. And so Elijah was hunted and Elijah was persecuted. But the Lord did not forsake him. Through the things that he suffered, he learned to walk in the Spirit. That is to say, he learned to live by faith in nothing else but the Word of God. And so he is sent to the widow of Zarephath. And she, as a non-Israelite, living by what she is experiencing, it was drought, it was famine. There was no more flour in her bin. She had just enough to make one more cake. She and her son would eat it, and then they'd die because there's no future. How many of us feel as if there's no future? But for us as Christians, there is always a future. Always. For us as Christians, that future is always optimistic, even though the cross of affliction bears down upon us and the slivers of wood seem to be penetrating our very flesh. There is always hope and there is always comfort because it is centered in what Christ has done. What the gospel for this 15th Sunday after Trinity teaches us is that all of the affairs of the world, all of them, from whatever is happening in the climate to whatever is happening in wars and rumors of war and the threat of terrorism, all things God uses for his good, to bring about repentance, to call us to faith, and most of all, to lift up that one who is the greater righteousness. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The kingdom of God is Christ, his righteousness, in his atoning sacrifice upon the cross, which restores our life with God for all eternity, which forgives all our sin, which gives us to eat of food that is better than what the birds of the air eat of. It's the very body and blood of the Son of God, through whom all things were created and by whom all things were redeemed. And he gives us a clothing which is far greater than the clothing of the lilies of the field, as brilliantly adorned they are by God. For this clothing is none other than the very righteousness of Christ himself. And in him there is no blemish or spot or wrinkle or any such thing. When he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you," he promises this. If I have saved you, I will surely keep and preserve you in this life through the things that you suffer. And that's what the widow of Zarephath learned. And it's what the prophet Elijah learned. What audacity of faith Elijah came to this woman with. "Can I have a cup of cool water?" There was hardly any fresh water for any of them. And he dares to ask for a cup of cool water. Why? Because the Lord, through his word, had called him to that faith, had sent him to the widow of Zarephath, had called him to bear the cross of affliction. And so she brought him some water. "Wait, make me a cake first." "Are you kidding me? We have nothing else." Trust. The word of the Lord is true. The gods of Phoenicia, Tyre and Sidon, are not the true gods. The gods of this world, not Allah, not the paganism of the world around us, not any of us or any other human being can save. But this God can. The one through whom all things were created. The one through whom redemption and salvation is won. And so there's a miracle in this story of the widow of Zarephath. It's not simply that the bin of flour and oil never ran out, but that she dared to receive that message of the prophet, "Do not be afraid." And in that faith, she made the cake. And they continued to eat, and life was preserved for many days. But that was all but a sign of the greater miracle of God's salvation. For Elijah, for the widow of Zarephath and her son, and for you and for me in the midst of the things through which we suffer and struggle. One of the strange things, but delightful things about the hymns this morning is how they all make this assertion that through suffering and hardship, through the turmoil of this life, through great unrest, God is steady in his promises and will accomplish his greatest good. Don't ever take Jesus out of all of your life. Jesus is the Son of God through whom all things were created, and he is the Redeemer. And God so orders all things that you and I might look singularly to him and focus upon him. That's why I began with that promise. If God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, freely give us all things? This is the invitation of faith in the gospel for Trinity 15. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In the book of Colossians, St. Paul says a remarkable thing. He says, "In Christ, all things consist." It means all things hold together. That means all matter. You know, the nucleus of an atom. All things hold together in Christ. The universe holds together in Christ. who has redeemed the universe. That's where you and I as Christians place our confidence. Not in this president or that president, this governor or that governor, this edict or that edict, but only in the word of truth, the message of the Spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And standing with us is the Lord, who has borne every affliction for you. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of God's self-giving love in the redemption of the world, whose righteousness is our eternal comfort and peace. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.